You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Palestine Remembered. 680 days of genocide. Beggars belief that we're still doing this, but we will not be conquered. We will not be broken. If I can send anything to each of our listeners, know that this is what our enemies want. They want us to feel hopeless. They want us to feel like there's no hope and no chance, and they want us to give up. So don't give up, number one, because we don't want them to be happy. Number two, and that should be the thing you wake up to every morning, is to try and upset a Zionist in some way. Number two is that the Palestinians won't give up. The Palestinians won't give up, so you mustn't. Any of the tribulations we're going through, whilst not wanting to minimise anybody's individual suffering, pale into significance when you consider the challenges Palestinians are facing in Gaza, but also in East Palestine, the West Bank, and throughout historic Palestine. Very quickly, with respect to what's happening in the West Bank, since this genocide uptick, since the explosion in Nakba, the continuing event of settler colonialism, of that fascist, racist, sick ideology of Zionism, wanted all the land with none of the indigenous people. Since the uptick in the genocide October 7, more than 30,000 Palestinians have been displaced, their homes destroyed, etc., in the West Bank. Thousands have been injured and over 1,000 killed. So whilst our mainstream media continues to talk about what's happening in Gaza, there's so much happening in the rest of historic Palestine. As you heard in the show, Asia Workers Links, Palestinian workers in Israeli resorts are losing their workers' rights and their Israeli permits. You know, an extra 200,000 migrant workers are coming into that apartheid state to be exploited for worse conditions and lower pay than the Palestinians, who got worse conditions and lower pay than their Israeli counterparts, because that's what apartheid is, a separate set of systems for everyone. So fight on. Come out tomorrow. The protest is going to be a yucky day, but, you know, in our thousands, in our millions, but also rain, hail or shine, we march for Palestine. And really importantly, Sunday week, the 24th of August, a national day of action for Palestine. So there'll be actions everywhere. Go to the APAN website and click on the events link. You'll be able to find a regional action or your state-based action or your city-based action to get along to. So make sure you get along to that. Increasingly, the stigma of being attached, proximate to, associated with Israel is increasing. And that's our job, is to make lay people understand just how, quote-unquote, shit that joint is. Now, for many of us in the activist space, we've known that it's an apartheid, racist, genocidal regime predicated on white supremacy hate. But increasingly, people are understanding that. And if you were to map the movement on October 6th, and you said there was 100 people, there might have been 10 people that were pro-Palestinian and 10 people that were pro-Israeli or Zionist, and 80 people that sort of agnostic, some proximate to us, some proximate to them, but a huge chunk of those 80 people sat around Israel. They sat around it. They weren't Zionists and they weren't Israeli supporters, but they were certainly Islamophobic. They were certainly anti-Palestinian racist. They were certainly not comfortable with the other, the brown, the unknown. And every Hollywood movie is sure to include at least 10 kafirs and a couple of Allahu Akbars to make sure that that Orientalist stereotype is ingrained and continues to dehumanize and allow for the sort of images that we're seeing now to just happen without anybody saying anything. Well, those people that sort of sat proximate to Israel, they weren't Israeli supporters, but they're proximate because they bought the lies of Tel Aviv beaches and Israeli couscous. I mean, just a joke. Israeli hummus, Israeli falafel. Like everything Israeli, it's stolen, like everything Israeli. Since October, they have seen Israel for what we've known it's been. And so they've detached from that space. They're out there ready for us to capture them. Many of them have come to our side, as we saw with 300 plus thousand people marching across the harbour bridge. Many of them have come to us, but our job is to continue to reach out to them and bring them along, bring them to the journey. And there's work to be done there, my friends, there's comrades, there's work to be done there. It hurts that we have to continue to do that work 680 days later, but it's necessary. So keep advocating, keep speaking into those spaces. But one of those beautiful things that's happening now is, you know, just happened overnight, and if you haven't caught up with the news, the Bendigo Writers Festival, which started yesterday. The festival is owned by the Bendigo City Council, but it's done in conjunction with La Trobe University, who's adopted the University of Australia's definition of anti-Semitism, which is a Timu copy of the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, which in and of itself is a disgusting weaponization of anti-Semitism in the conflation it creates between criticism of Israel, criticism of Zionism, and criticism of Judaism. I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's really important, use these words, my friends, that Israel has created, Zionists have created, these fascists have created an unholy trinity between Israel, quote-unquote geography, Zionism, a political ideology, and Judaism, an ancient religion. Judaism doesn't teach genocide. Judaism doesn't teach hate. Judaism doesn't teach supremacy. Judaism would never, ever condone genocide. But that absolutely, absolutely is Israel, and that absolutely is Zionism. And so criticism of Zionism, criticism of Israel, is not anti-Semitism. Yet the La Trobe University adopted this Timu copy of that disgusting definition, the IHRA definition, that the special envoy, the super special envoy, Jill Segal, is looking to impose on every institution, to defund so that she can have eyes and ears across everyone, and don't you dare speak out, don't you dare speak up for Palestinians. Well, La Trobe University during the week sent out a code of conduct, and, you know, it was very clear from any lay reading that this was about Palestine and Israel. This was about making sure you didn't speak. This was about you making sure that you created, quote-unquote, a safe space. You know, a safe space is where fascists, supporters of Israel, Zionists, can occupy and not be challenged for their hate-filled ideology, not be challenged for supporting the death of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands killed and injured. The ecocide, the scholasticide, the genocide in Gaza. We need to create safe spaces for these people. And that's so, so shameful. Well, Dr. Ronda Abdel Fattah, one of our most brilliant Palestinians, Australian Palestinians, she was in fact thinking about withdrawing the horror of what she saw and what we all saw with the assassination of Anas, the Al Jazeera reporter in Gaza, and five of his colleagues. The murder broke all of our hearts. If you had seen Anas Al Sharif, young guy, 28, couple of young kids, young wife. He'd been told, he'd been targeted, you know, media all over the world, Amnesty International, media unions, all of them were speaking up in the days and weeks before his assassination, saying, don't target him, he's not Hamas. The horror of that, the pain of that, saw Ronda contemplate cancelling, pulling out, just, you know, how to muster energy to promote a book when our voices are being silenced every day. And then she said, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to honour his death, his assassination, by attending. Next thing she knows in her email box is, you know, quote-unquote, you know, paraphrasing, don't you dare speak about Israel. Don't you dare speak about Zionism. We need those people that support that to be comfortable. Well, she withdrew, made a public comment. She was on the ABC, a great interview. And brilliantly, brilliantly, now over 50 fellow authors, novelists have withdrawn, and the festival is in complete disarray. I think it's almost half of the events have been cancelled. So big solidarity, big shout out to all of those people that joined Ronda, Jess Hill, Indigenous superstar writer Evelyn Arulun, novelist Claire Coleman, Sonia Orchard, Kate Middlehall, Dr. Kirsten Ferguson, Kirsty Duncanson, Janine Leanne, I mean, the list just keeps going on. So thank you all for showing up and speaking up and out. I'm going to play a song by Khaled Abdullah, wonderful British-Egyptian actor. And this song is called A Simple Song. It's just him and a piano. It's haunting in its beauty. We'll be right back after this and some announcements.
The This is a simple song. A simple song. This is a simple song.
Hi, this is Rafif Ziada, and you're listening to 3CR, pro-Palestinian, happily proud radio.
Back to Anas and his colleagues. Anas Al-Sharif, 28 years old, young son and a young daughter, young family, young wife, assassinated. One of the things, way back when I said it on Q&A, and I remember there was a lot of commentary about it online and in the space. I said, Palestinians are killed, we're then blamed for being killed, and in our death, we're smeared. It's just come out that, you know, these Palestinian journalists, you know, who are slaughtered twice, you know, they're slaughtered in death, but then also slaughtered and demonized in the West. Killed, blamed, smeared, no sanctity to a Palestinian's life, no sanctity to a Palestinian's life. It's just come out that there is, in fact, an Israeli unit that is specifically tasked, you know, part of this Hasbara machine. You look, it just beggars belief. We spoke last week about Unit 8200 recording 1 million phone calls an hour using AI. Over that article in The Guardian about how they use AI to select which conversations are problematic and from there create target lists from there through to drones and to the assassination of Palestinians. As Orwellian as this is, there's a legitimization cell. This is an Israeli unit tasked with linking Gazan journalists to Hamas. That's their job. They are tasked with gathering intelligence that can bolster Israel's image in the international media to find whatever links they might be able to have, to be able to say, to be able to target, to be able to justify these assassinations, these killings. It beggars belief that we're still, you know, over 200 Palestinian journalists assassinated, that our media continues to parrot out lines. I mean, we did have a Media Entertainment Arts Alliance video come out with journalists reading out the names of the journalists that have been assassinated by Israel in an endeavor to silence them. I mean, there's only one reason you kill journalists, and that's to make sure that their stories don't get out. Israel continues to deny international media access. Of course, unless you want to go on one of their junkets, and they'll make sure that the angle you film ensures that you don't see any depravity. But nobody's allowed to go in, and they cite security concerns. We've got to keep you safe. And, you know, I'm not sure what that means, other than we want to keep you safe from us accidentally killing you or purposefully killing you. So this unit, its job is to go through and find whatever spurious evidence it might be able to have to be able to create that Hasbara link, to create the tenuous, you know, bit of Arabic writing, a picture. I mean, a reporter taking a picture with a leader. I mean, based on that, there wouldn't be a reporter in Australia that hasn't had a picture with Elbow or ScoMo or Julia Gillard or whoever. They're all arguably, quote-unquote, in a war with, let's say, China, legitimate targets because they were parts of the Australian government. This is the absurdity. International law says that media must be protected. I mean, over 1,400 medical workers and healthcare workers, the fact that Israel said that these three ambulances were approaching us and there were Hamas in there and we had to kill them, and then they buried those ambulances, and then when those ambulances recovered and the bodies, they found a mobile phone, and the footage there showed clearly that the ambulance's sirens were on, that they were going to help injured and wounded people. The lies that keep getting exposed, yet, whether it's our ABC or the mainstream lame media, continues to platform these fascist, genocidal, racist Israeli demons. I'm not spokespeople. They just, I can't fathom that nobody's challenged them. 680 days, nobody's brought up the vision of any of these guys or girls and said, listen, back here, you said 40 beheaded babies. 10 days later, the Israeli government said, there's no evidence of that. It's been 670 days since the Israeli government said there's no evidence of 40 beheaded babies. Do you apologize now for saying that? Do you apologize? Why would we believe anything you say, whether it's that colonel in a Shifa hospital pointing at what was a calendar, saying here's a hostage list, at, you know, what happened to Hindrajab? I don't want to go through the litany of them, it's just too depressing. the fact that nobody is challenging these people, it just beggars belief, beggars belief. But why places like 3CR, why social media, the democracy that these spaces afford us to speak up, to speak out about this sort of stuff, and why it's so important to share these podcasts and to tell people to subscribe to 3CR, etc., is because we get the opportunity to speak and to tell the truth, you know, into spaces that are largely denied us, opportunities that are largely denied us in the mainstream media, that we can speak to this. We can speak about the absurdity of the current government's position. I mean, Elbow is criticised, actually before that, you know, Hamas prays for the two-state solution. You'd have to have been a ostrich with your head deeply in the sand not to have seen, you know, the gloating of Sussan Ley and Michaela Cash Hamas, you know, condemning our Prime Minister for his decision to recognise at some point down the road some sort of Palestine, whatever that might look like. And, you know, that Matthew Knott at the Sydney Morning Herald and the Age 9 News there found somehow a quote or a release from a Hamas guy that's in jail who's, according to Hamas, not part of anything, praising our Prime Minister, which then Hamas did, because Hamas believes in a two-state solution. Hamas that was democratically elected. Just, you know, like it's Orwellian to levels of craziness. But I'm increasingly heartened wherever we are that people have woken up. People are seeing, if you were on social media yesterday, the BBC were interviewing kids at a post office who are opening up letters from the education department for their O-levels, I think it is, for their VCE, HSC results. And this woman in a live cross, she went to this kid and she goes, "How did you go?" He goes, I did really well, but I just want to say, end the genocide, Britain's complicit and the BBC is complicit. You know, took his moment, shot his shot as an 18-year-old. Israel never gets to go back to there. Israel never gets to go back to that space that it was normal. And increasingly, as we said earlier, with what's happened at the Bendigo Writers Festival, that space that Israel occupied is gone, completely vanished. And it's our job to continue to grow the movement to those people that have been dislocated from adjacency to Israel, to Zionism, that they're out there for us to capture, to, you know, bring them to our side. And so that's the work we need to do, comrades. Make sure you come out tomorrow, and in particular for the 24th of August, get everybody out. Wherever it might be, if you go to the APAN website, you'll be able to find all the details of actions, wherever they might be. Thanks for listening. Share the podcast, tell your friends, and remember, there's never been a better time for a free Palestine.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.